This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in our series called Building a Better Life. In these lessons, Pastor Rick dives into the Bible and shows us how God can take a difficult situation and use it to help you build a better future. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get a hardcover copy of Pastor Rick's wonderful book, The Purpose of Christmas, just in time for the season. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Doing a Reset for a Better Life.
You know, one time I was talking to Bill Gates at a conference, and I asked him, I said, Bill, you know, at that time he's the wealthiest man in the world, said, how do you use your money? He said, Rick, the best use of money is use it to save time. I go, that's brilliant. It's brilliant. Why? Because you can get more money, but you can't get more time. And so one of the good ways to use money is to use it to save time. Time is your most precious resource. Now, here's a prayer that you can pray every day. Psalm 90, verse 12. Lord, teach us to make the most of our time so that we may grow in wisdom. By the way, how does God teach you to make the most of your time? This book right here, the more you get in this book, the more you apply the principles. If you'll practice the principles of God's word, you'll waste less time. Okay, that's one habit. Second habit, first is manage my time. Second habit is living on purpose. And that's the next verse. Living on purpose. We call it purpose-driven living. I don't care what you call it, just do it. Proverbs 17:24 says this. An intelligent person aims, that's purpose-driven, at wise actions, that you work intentionally with your life. But a fool starts off how? I can't hear you. How? In many directions, in many directions. Friends, as your pastor who loves you, the last thing I want you to do is with all the newfound freedom, when all of a sudden all the restaurants are open and everything, all the events are open and everything is open and we're all freed up again and we're not restricted, is to go out and fill your life with a bunch of stuff that doesn't matter. You got to eliminate the non-essentials, but then you have to focus and excel on the essentials, what really does matter. They're complementary. And you do that by managing your time and living on purpose. Now, you know, it might be a good thing to do to go back and retake the purpose-driven classes. Some of you haven't taken them in months or maybe even years. This would be a good time for a refresher course to go back, take 101, 201, 301, 401. Take the classes which define and describe how to live a life of intention. How to live a life of purpose. How to not head off in all directions, but to focus on the thing that God says matters. God has five purposes for your life. Not 10, not two, not one. God has five purposes for your life. And we've got a class on those purposes. And so I'm just telling you, as your friend and as your pastor, as somebody who loves you, I'm begging you that as the freedoms become more available again, don't just refill and repack your schedule with activities simply because you're free to do it. Leave some margin in your schedule. Do not rejoin the rat race that you have not had to be a part of for the last year. Okay? Don't head off as many directions. An intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. Now, here's the third habit, okay? The third habit that goes along with focusing on what, excelling at what really matters, manage my time, live on purpose. Number three, third habit, choose good priorities. The Bible has a lot to say about this. I'm only going to give you one verse. I could give you hundreds of verses on choosing priorities wisely. But I love the story of how one time Jesus is visiting his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Martha's more worried about the meal than spending time with Jesus. And she actually complains to her sister about not helping her, okay? And Jesus gently corrects her. And in Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42, Jesus says this. And I want you to hear the compassion in his voice. My dear friend Martha, 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 my dear friend Martha, you worry and you fuss over so many different little things. But really, only one thing is essential. Circle that. Only one thing is essential. Only one thing is essential. And Mary has selected it. What had Mary selected? Spending time with Jesus. So here's the question. Is spending time with Jesus the top priority in your schedule? Because if it's not, you're never going to move from the good life to the better life. To move from the good life to the better life, you have to spend time with Jesus. It should be number one on your to-do list. Is it? No, probably not. On your to-do list for Monday morning, Jesus, spend time with Jesus is probably not on that list. I suggest that you start making it your number one on your list. Excel at what really matters. Manage my time, live on purpose, and choose God's priorities. Only one thing is essential, and that is spending time with Jesus, right? Okay, here's the third principle. Embrace the new things God does. Embrace the new things that God does. Now, I chose that word embrace intentionally because embrace means more than just agree with it, to grudgingly accept it. To embrace means to be content with it. It means to even love it. You don't embrace things you don't love. So what I'm saying here is you not only accept the new things that are happening in God's world, in God's church, in God's family, in your life, but you actually learn to love them. You need to embrace what God does. Embrace it, be content, even love it. Parents, when your kids were growing up, did they change? Of course they changed. Radically changed. Think of the change between 1 year and 3 year. Think of the change between 3 years and 5 years. And think of the years between 5 and 10 and on and on and on. All of the changes that your kids went through. When your kids were going through all those changes, did you stop loving your kids when they stopped being infants? No. No. You loved them at each stage of their growth. Not every stage is fun. Junior high years is like hell years. Okay. Everything seems like it's a national problem. Okay. Okay. And broken hearts and everything is a life or death situation. But you know what? You loved them in their junior high years. And in fact, for your kids to not have changed and not have grown would mean one thing, tragedy. And God says the same thing about you. Now, I want to just be frank with you. As again, as your pastor who loves you, your friend, I'm praying for you. I'm trying to help you through this difficult time. And I would say this. Read my lips. Life's never going back to the way it was a year ago.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Let the true reason for the season fill your heart with hope this year when you discover Pastor Rick's inspirational book, The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your three deepest needs and how receiving the three Christmas gifts God has for you will transform your life forever. This book is sure to become a beloved family favorite to be read every Christmas and to be shared with your friends who may not know how much God loves them. We'll send you the inspiring and beautifully illustrated book, The Purpose of Christmas, as our way of saying thanks when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus to people around the world. to get your copy of this great resource, just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com to get yours. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. There's only 2 days left to get the Purpose of Christmas book, so don't wait.
Once again, here's Rick.
Now, I want to just be frank with you. As your pastor who loves you, I'm trying to help you through this difficult time. And I would say this. Read my lips. Life's never going back to the way it was a year ago. I hate to let you down. I hate to tell you that, but it's not going back to the way that it was. Everything has changed, including you. The past is past. You can't go backwards in life. You can only go forward. And so you can't go back. We can't go backwards. So really, what we all have is two choices. We either A, complain and grumble and long for the way it was a year ago, or B, we get on with life. That's it. Because all the complaining, all the grumbling, and all the regretting, and all the moaning is not going to go back to the way it was. Grumbling won't change anything. It's over. On top of that, when you read this book, when you read scriptures, you realize that God is a God of newness. He's always doing new things. His mercies are new every morning. He doesn't do the same thing, same old, same on. And if you want to live the better life, then you're going to need to cooperate with the new things that God is going to do in your life, the new things God is going to do in this church, the new things God is going to do in your family, in your career, in your friends, the new thing God is going to do in the world. God is a God of newness. And we have to cooperate with the new things God wants to do. Here's what scripture says, Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. The Lord says, forget the former things. Wow. And don't dwell on the past. Instead, look at the new things I'm going to do. I'm going to do. Look at the new things I'm going to do. They're already starting to happen. Can you see what I've begun to do? Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to circle the word look, and I want you to circle the word see. He says, look for the new things I'm going to do and see what I've already begun to do. Why does he say that? Before you can embrace the new things God is doing in your life and around you, you have to see him first. You have to see the new things that God is. Can you see it? Can you see it? Are you looking for it? Well, you're not looking for it if you're always looking backwards. And if right now you're still looking back to wishing it was the way it was a year ago or more than a year ago, years ago, why can't we go back to that era of my life? Why can't we go back to that time in my life? Why? Because we can't. That's why. We can't. And always longing for the past and glorifying the past and dreaming of the past and wishing for the past is like driving a car where you're always looking in the rearview mirror and never looking out the windshield. If you're always looking in the rearview mirror, you're going to crack up. You're going to crash. You're going to burn. You're going to have an accident. You can't move forward in life longing for, I wish you were like that era of my life. Now, let me just say, I've said this in the last two messages too. It's okay to grieve your losses. And every one of us have had major losses. I've had some enormous losses, personal losses in my life in the last year. Like Kay's mom, for one thing, John Baker, Pastor John Baker, and so many other dear friends. And we've all lost friends, relatives. Some people have lost jobs, lost opportunities, lost income. Grief is the only legitimate, healthy way to handle a loss. But you need to learn how to grieve while you're keeping your eyes focused on what God wants to do next. And you need to embrace the new things that God does. I often pray a simple prayer that goes like this. God, I know you're going to do some really great new things today in the world. I would like for you to give me the privilege of being in on some of what you're going to do. I don't ever pray, God bless what I'm doing. I never pray that prayer, God bless what I'm doing. What I pray is, God, help me to do what you're blessing. You're doing stuff in the world right now. I volunteer. I'm in. I want to get in on it. I'm volunteering for the future, whatever future you have for me. I'm signing up right now. I'm volunteering. I'm in. You know, we're looking in this series at five different books: Ezra, Nehemiah, Malachi, Zephaniah, and Haggai, which were five books written to encourage God's people after they had come out of captivity. And remember I told you they were held captives by Babylon for 70 years, and finally they're allowed to go back home, and the first thing they want to do, reestablish worship. They hadn't worshiped together at the temple for 70 years. 70 years. Can you imagine going 70 years without corporate worship at the house of worship? And so they get back and they're all excited about that. Interesting, one of the prophets, Isaiah, who lived before the Babylonian captivity, God actually gave him a vision of the 70-year captivity that was going to happen. He said, this is going to happen. And he also gave Isaiah a picture of what it was going to be like when they finally got to come back. And he said, Isaiah, I'm going to show you what worship became after they got back together, after the time when they couldn't worship. It's really similar to us, similar parallel. Just like we'd been unable to worship. They hadn't been unable to worship, but for 70 years. And when I read the promise in Isaiah that God told them that he would do after they returned, I claimed that same promise for our Saddleback Church family. It is this. It's on the screen. Isaiah 49, 19 and 20. God said this: even though your land was unused and abandoned, it'll soon be too small for all the new people. More people than you know what to do with. This is God talking. And the new generation that was born in exile will return and they'll say, we need more room. It's crowded here. Get ready. This is what God does. This is what God does. This is what God does when you cooperate with his plan rather than go off on your plan. I don't have a plan for the future. My plan is God's plan for the future, whatever that will be. Now, there's one more principle. But here's the question before I give this last principle. Will we bemoan a past that's never coming back? Or are we going to use the energy, what little energy we've got, to embrace the new things that God is going to do through Saddleback Church? That's our choice. It's our choice. I'm inviting you to be a pioneer all over again. It's a reset, folks. It's starting at ground zero. Here's the last principle, and I'll cover it quickly. Number four. Expect incremental change. Expect incremental change. I'm talking about in me, in you. So you might want to write that down. Expect incremental change in me. Now, this is the exact opposite of what we want, because we don't want incremental change in our lives when we move from a good life to a better life and to improve. We want fast change, right? I mean, we want rapid results. We want instant transformation. We want total makeover in an hour. We're in a hurry, all right? And we are very impatient. We are in a hurry. Let me ask you, how many of you, true confession, have ever gone on one of those really radical fast diets and you lost a lot of weight really, really fast and then you gained it all back? Can I see your hands? The rest of you are lying. Liar, liar, liar. Okay. Okay. You've all gone on a diet where you're trying to lose it really fast. And what happens? It doesn't work. God's principle is to expect incremental change. You know, it always has amazed me up there on that patio after services that I'd go outside and people come up to me on the patio and they want me to solve their marriage problem in one conversation. And it's a problem they've had for 10 years. And they want me to solve it in one conversation? Really? And they'll be start explaining to me, and then they're waiting there for the miracle answer. And I'm going to go, how long have you had this problem? Oh, 20 years. Well, I can't solve it in one conversation. All right? It just isn't going to happen that way. And you know what? In all that time when I said, how long have you had this problem? Nobody's ever said it started yesterday. You didn't get into all the mess you're in right now overnight. You're not going to get out of it overnight. And the habits and patterns you had pre-COVID, and we say, don't go back to those. Don't resume those. Don't be the old you. Be a new you. Okay, those have to change, but they will change incrementally. This is the little by little principle. You didn't create the problem overnight, so you're not going to get out of it overnight. You know, one time a guy told me, he said, you know, Rick, I feel like my life is flooded with problems, and I'm about to drown in the flood. And when I heard that, a verse popped into my mind, thinking about Noah and his flood. This next verse, Genesis 8:3, says this, the flood gradually receded. Little by little, the water lowered. And after 150 days, the worst was over.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you missed any part of this message, or if you'd like to find out more about Pastor Rick Warren and this ministry, just visit PastorRick.com, where you can listen online anytime. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. Rick will be right back to close out our time today, but first, for some of us, Christmas can bring up feelings of sadness, discontent, and regret, and that can make it really hard to get into the spirit of the season. And because of this, Rick wants you to have this beautifully illustrated book he's written called The Purpose of Christmas. Here's Rick with more.
Have you noticed that people are more open to talking about Jesus at Christmas than at any other time of the year? Regardless of their religious background or their problems or their circumstances, everybody needs to know that Jesus loves them, that Christmas means that God has a plan for their life, and that God is with us. So this Christmas season, I want to encourage you to share the story of Christmas with your family, your friends, and your neighbors. Now, one of the ways you can do this is through a little book I wrote called The Purpose of Christmas. It explains the true meaning of Christmas and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And when you give somebody a copy of The Purpose of Christmas, it's going to start a conversation with them about Jesus and about the purpose of his love and the purpose for their lives. You can invite them to a Christmas Eve service at your church. This month, I'd like to send you a copy of this book, The Purpose of Christmas. You can read it. You can pass it on to a friend who needs to know the true meaning.
This book is sure to become a beloved family favorite, to be read every Christmas and be shared with your friends who may not know how much God loves them. We'll send you a hardcover copy of the inspiring and beautifully illustrated book, The Purpose of Christmas, when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus to people around the world. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or just call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. And thanks so much for your support. There's only 2 days left to get this great resource, so don't wait. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.